Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
West Cork Beard Company make beard oil and beard balm for a strong, healthy, great looking beard. Handmade from all natural ingredients in Clonakilty, West Cork. Check out their YouTube channel for beard care tips and advice, or catch them online at westcorkbeardcompany.ie.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Welcome back to the Same Old Arsenal podcast. How are you all? Yes, as you saw in the intros, we're sponsored by the West Cork Beer Company. Please go and support them. Link below in the description. He's a friend, Colin, mate of mine. It's his own business. Please check him out. If you've got a nice beard and you want some handcrafted beard oils, to put into your beard. Also, we have a partnership running at the moment with Manscaped. Link is in the description below. Use the checkout same old for 20% discount. Sorry if you can hear Mark slurping and eating. I know it winds some of you up. Certainly winds me up. Manscaped, down in the bottom. 20% off, same old. Use the discount code. If you want your cherries to smell like strawberries, go and have a look at the website. And judges, yours is on the way, mate. I posted it today, so not that you need it anyway. But there's some ball toner in there, so it might give them a bit of lift. Good afternoon to you all in the chat box. How are you? Some watching on Facebook, some watching on Periscope, some watching on loads watching on YouTube. Good evening to you all. West Ham, another 3 points. It was ugly, but by God, 3 points. I'm happy about it. Lee, starting off with you tonight, mate. Ugly, but 3 points.
Yeah, I've got to say, that's exactly it. You know, people turn around and say to you, how many times we've been in that situation where we've dominated the game and then got caught on the break and lost, you know, and it's happened time and time again. So that was the pleasing thing about it, that we somehow scraped the result. I don't know how, but we did. And I think that, you know, West Ham deserved a lot of credit. They looked very, very dangerous. I think they played to our weaknesses. But ultimately, we got over the line, and while we was all going mad about the Fulham game, and quite rightly so, you know, when people turn around and go, it's only Fulham, or it's when we've lost to West Ham, I take it on merit as the game by game. You know what I mean? We played really well against Fulham, deserved to win. We didn't play well against West Ham and deserved nothing really. But hey ho, we got the result, and I'm well happy about that. You know, it didn't look like we was going to. At one stage of that game, I don't know about you guys, I was sort of accepting, we'll take a point there as long as we don't lose. But The one thing about Arsenal, and I listened to what Graham Souness said, and he was dead right what he said. He said that Arsenal in the top half of the field, the final third, have got quality. There's no two ways about it. And that quality showed up with the little pass from Saka, and then Tobias, who could have had a shot, chose the right option, bang goal. And that is what we've got up front. But midfield-wise and defence-wise, we're ordinary. You know, and when I look at the game yesterday, on Saturday, when we've got to break teams down, I looked at our fullbacks, our white, you know, obviously, I think losing Tierney was a big blow. Let's get that right in the first place. But then, you know, you look at Kolasinac coming in and also Bellerin. They ain't going to open up teams. They're not very, very good, you know, beating players and putting in crosses. So we lost our industry, if you like, on the flanks, and that's always going to happen. I think away from home, Bellerin would do a decent job, but at home he's not going to go around players, and you know, and then in midfield it's the same midfield that got us to eighth in the league last season. We've not got rid of one player from it. We've not improved it. We've not changed it one bit. So you have to look at that and think that, you know, there's still things to be done at Arsenal. And you know, I've been having a little bit of a conversation about our window. You know, I put down today that it's been a good window so far, and I've got a lot of abuse for it. Not abuse, but people saying, you know, what are you on about, good window? And you know, people, the fans are not happy, you know, with what's going on at the moment. And I look at it and I try to my explanation. I'll get it out in a minute. I'm not on a drink. Is that it has been a good window at the moment because we've actually improved our back line. We brought in Mario. I know that he was on loan last season, but we made that permanent. And also Gabriel is a good signing. But I'm looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe these guys are right, because we're still a central defender down, because holding this, I'm not going to be horrible, is not good enough. Certainly not good enough. And also, as much as I love Tierney, there does seem to be like an injury worry against him. So I think that, you know, we've got to have good covering just in case he doesn't go the whole season. And the midfield is, you know, as I say, you know, has got to be improved. And like, you know, as Dan will come into in a minute, I'm sure, you know, we're hoping to get this and hoping to get that. You know, come on, we're Arsenal Football Club. Should we be hoping to get players? I think it should be expected. And if we're not going to, you know, I'm sorry, but Mikel Arteta told me, you know, that this against Aston Villa, you know, trust, you know, the board are going to back me. Well, they've only backed him by about £7 million so far, if that. You know, if that's backing him, well, Christ almighty, I'm worried. And by the way, we sold a £20 million goalkeeper today, saved a penalty. I'll leave you with that.
Dan, I want to come on the transfer thing a bit later on. Just want to talk about that. You know, there's a lot of things going on Twitter. Well, there's a lot of people tweeting out at the moment how poor we are in the transfer market, this, that, and the other. I tweeted out earlier that it's good, just chill out a bit. You know, it's not the transfer window's not open, not closed until October the 5th, and then after that we've got another 2 weeks of domestic transfer window. Just before we go there, Dan, I've just remembered one thing. Big shout out to my work colleague, Dave Madden, who's watching us tonight for the first time. Massive Arsenal fan, season ticket holder, lives in Ireland, travels backwards and forwards from Ireland to go and watch the Arsenal. Big shout out to you, Dave. Hope you're watching, and I hope you enjoy the show, mate. I'll speak to you tomorrow. Dan, do you know what? Let's go. Do you know, I don't... Is there much to talk about, really, about the game, really? It was poor. It was rubbish. We got 3 points. We didn't play very well. Shall we talk about this transfer window business, or do you want to talk about the game?
I will go wherever you want to go, Craig. All I've got to say about that game really is that we shouldn't be shocked that some of these players are not performing very well because they're not good enough. And these players got eighth. Lee summed it up. We've got to add Gabriel and Willian to it. So we can't be shocked that we've got some performances. The only worry is we missed two players massively. And they're not experienced heads. They're the youngsters. And we missed Kieran Tierney and Ainsley Maitland-Niles massively. Yeah, and it completely transformed us at the back. So that's what I've got to say about it. In the chat, it's going mental about this bloke, and I don't really want to have a huge rant about him because everybody knows that I am not a fan of this guy. He is the worst Arsenal player in the history at the club. He's not comfortable on the ball. He can't defend. He can't go forward. And if you want to sum up of his performance, then look at towards the second half when he's got all the time in the world to cross the ball and he scuffs it for a goal kick. This guy is hopeless. Kolasinac cannot wear the Arsenal shirt anymore. He can't pass the ball. He's not comfortable on it. And he just needs to be sold ASAP. And that's all I can say about
it. Can you believe that when we bought him, he was in the... when he signed for Arsenal, he was in the German team of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. But Pascal Seguin was the French player of the year, wasn't he, when we bought him as well. It means nothing, you know. I mean, the Bundesliga, you look at it, you only got to look at the Bundesliga, and Bayern Munich have already won the league. They won 8-0 in their first game. It's a terrible league, you know. I don't want any more, oh, he was in the Bundesliga team of the year. As far as I'm concerned, unless your name's Lewandowski, then anyone can get into that thing, if Kolasinac can. I mean, it is poor. There must have been no left-backs that year, I mean, if he got in, because it was a poor performance. Rob Holding, you know, look at the goal. You know, Rob Holding's not even goal side of Antonio. Xhaka's trotting back. Granit Xhaka is good on the ball. I'll give you that. Granit Xhaka is good on the football. Off the ball, he is diabolical. I mean, it is poor. Really, really poor. Danny Ceballos off the ball was really poor, I thought. You know, really, really poor the other night. Good on the ball again. And Rob Holding. But they were the weak links for me. I actually thought Saka had an okay game. Nothing special until that absolute genius pass to Ceballos. I mean, that was special. You know, if that's Messi or Fabregas in his day at Arsenal, we'd be raving about it. That was a fantastic pass. And Eddie come on and scored the goal. But that's all I've got to say about the game, really. We didn't play well enough, but let's not go over the top with it. A lot of people are, you know. But this is realistic, Craig. We finished eighth for a reason. We haven't finished in the transfer window yet. So I don't know if you want to move on to transfers, mate. We'll come on to Mark.
We'll see what Mark made of the game. And then what we'll do is then we'll come on to the transfer window because I'm quite eager to talk about it. After some of the stuff I've seen on Twitter today. So, Mark, what did you make of the game, mate? Where did we get it right? Where did we get it wrong? What are your thoughts?
Well, firstly, I apologise for not being on mute when I come in. That was an accident. I see the intro cut out and then it made me remember that I had to put my bins out. So I just quickly whipped out and done that because I knew I had time to get down the drive and do that. So I'm sorry about that. But the game, nice to see Leno trying to command his area. I wonder where he's got the idea to do that from. And I was concerned for him when he went down on his chin, more than worried about him dropping a ball because safety first and all that. But, you know, I would still have liked him to have held on to it, even if he couldn't feel his arms and legs because he broke his neck. He should still be holding the ball, in my opinion. But I got great positives. Let's do, you know, Eddie coming on and nicking a winner. That won't do him any harm, will it? Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Great to see him and Ceballos celebrating together for the goal to put that to bed. And I think Eddie said after the game, let's put this to bed. You know, these things happen. We'd be disappointed if professional athletes weren't getting physical with one another in a contact sport, getting G'd up ready for a game before the game. So that's good to see. And they've put it aside and moved on clearly. That's fantastic. We don't need to talk about Kolasinac. But what we do need to talk about is why Kieran Tierney is injured again.
Yeah.
Not going to get too many more chances for me. I like the lad. I like what he says. I like the way he plays the game. But if he is earning £50,000-£75,000 a week, which is half of what we're paying Kolasinac, and Kolasinac come without a £25-30 million fee, then the entire package over 4 or 5 years is not too different for me. So he does need to prove he's not made of glass. So enough of the injuries now, son. You need to put a run together, and that means 10, 15 consecutive games, because otherwise he's no good for us. So we're lucky to have a backup left-back in Kolasinac. So like we've always said, until we can get better replacements in, we can't let these lads go. And the point is proven, isn't it?
Because
if we had ourselves Kolasinac 2 weeks ago, where would we be now?
I mean, perhaps Saka could have fitted in there, but then again, you know,
could have done, but that's not his game, is it? Let's be honest, his game is going forward, isn't it, Saka? That's where we all want to see. But Dan's right. He's not good enough for Arsenal Football Club, but we've got to get someone better before we get rid of him. The same
with
Jack.
I agree with you, Mark.
You know what I mean? So, and we haven't.
Yeah.
So we can't let him go. And this is why I like it. We've got to move on now, aren't we? Because the West Ham thing's done. Like, they're dire. Like when we play City, we park the bus, don't we? We park the bus when we play City and Liverpool and we hit them on the counter-attack and get a result, don't we? West Ham do that to us, don't they? Because we're better than them. So it's hard for us. And in seasons gone by, we've struggled, haven't we, to break those teams down. So fantastic to win ugly and fantastic to get the 3 points. Because last season, under Emery, certainly we wouldn't have done, would we? And what we have. So that's improvement for me. 2 wins out of 2, great way to start the season because we're still building up, aren't we? Building up. You know, Moores is no mug. He set that team up to do a number on us. And they did in the centre of the park, you know, again, highlighting where we're weak. They did do a number on us, but we move on because we've done it. We got the points off them like we hoped and expected to. But, you know, moving into the transfer market, you know, we've got to get these players in before we can release the other lads out, because at the minute, you know, and I know there's a person who sits on this podcast who's not here tonight who would rather see one of the lads who started at the weekend leave before Mustafi. You know, but He's not fit, Mustafi. So, you know, what are we going to get for an unfit lad? Do you know what I mean? We've got to prove that he's fit and playing, you know. So we were hoping, weren't we? Me and Dan laughed when Kolasinac got put in the team before the game. We said, fantastic. Let's hope he has a fantastic game. And West Ham think, oh, there's a lad we need to come in and buy him. You know, talk about putting him in a shop window. You know what I mean? That would have been ideal. But obviously he didn't play well enough for even West Ham to think about it. So.
I don't even think Clacton Town would have had him after that, mate. Lee, I want to come round to the transfer window. Like you said, you put out a tweet today to saying that we had a good window. I put out a tweet earlier on saying that we should keep our cool. And not abuse, but fellas coming in and telling me, oh, I've been waiting. Look, it's like this. Those poor players, or the poor players, the fringe players, the deadwood, what we want, right? If no one's coming in for them, we can't sell them. That's just how it works, right? So all these people, oh, Arsenal, why are they so slow? Why are they so slow? If no one's coming in for them, we can't sell them. The transfer window is open till October the 5th, right? That's another, what's that? What's the date? It's another 2 weeks, is it? Yeah. Right? And then after the international window closes, we've got a further 2 week domestic window, right? Why are people losing their minds? Or like the transfer window isn't closed till October the 5th. When have Arsenal ever done any transfers before a deadline day?
No, I get that, but what I think is the problem is that if, you know, everybody's saying stay patient, you know, do the trust in the process, and I get that, but say what if it comes to the 5th of October and nothing's done?
Well, then we lose our stuff.
We're going to lose our stuff, but that matters. Nothing we can do then because the transfer window's shut. So I think people should be starting now with 2 weeks left. They should be actually now saying, you know, right, come on, what is happening? You know, and I get the thing that Arsenal don't say too much and let out too much and say what they're doing. But we all know what I think what it is, Craig, and it is with me, this is that last season, you know, it didn't matter who we got. We needed 10, 9 players, really, or whatever, 8 players. before we even thought about challenging. I honestly thought, like, you know, we ain't going to get in the top four last season, and that was it. You know what I mean? So he's just going through the motions of the season. But this season, I think that I feel that we've got players in. We've got Gabriel. We've got Mari. You know, we're saying that, you know, if Tierney would have got injured in that warm-up, Mari would have come in, yes, on Saturday and have done a good job. Unfortunately, he's injured. But we've got two central defenders that, you know, Mari, when he played a few times last season, looked good. Gabriel looks like he's going to be a good player for us. Mm-hmm. So we've now got that sorted out. Forwards, with Aubameyang signing, we've got Willian in there. We've got some exciting little options going on up front. Don't forget, we've got Martinelli to come back in there. And maybe you know, Pepe can't get in at the moment. So it's exciting times in that front thing. You know what I mean? Eddie's coming on and making things happen. So all of that's really good. So all of a sudden, we're back to where we was a few years ago now, where we're one or two players away from really, like, being excited. Now, if we was to get AWAR and Partey, we'd all be thinking, my God, it's that frustration that we're nearly quite there and we're not going to do nothing, like, you know. And there is that fear, lads, I'm sorry, there is that fear that, you know, we won't do nothing and that, oh, well, we can't afford it, you know. Like, we can't afford this because of COVID. Well, everybody else is going and buying, so they can't use that excuse when teams like Newcastle, Leeds, Aston Villa have come up from the Championship, these teams, and spending more money than Arsenal. You know, oh, we need to be in Europe. Well, they've been in the Championship and they're still spending more money than us. Teams around us, Tottenham, spending £20 million on a loan when their stadium, you know, hasn't even been up and running in 6 months and it's shut down. So they can't go down that excuse. Now it's the excuse of we can't get rid of the players. Well, whose fault's that? Whose fault's that we've got these players here, you know? And if you can't get rid of them, just bloody give them away. Give them away, you know what I mean? And start again. You know, we've just got £20 million for a goalkeeper, right? And we've invested £1.5 million in another one. That's great business now to go out there and go and get that central midfield player. And do you know what? I'll accept that. But until they do that, I ain't happy about what they've done with Martinez. I'm not happy about it. This is a player that's gone in, played really, really well, been now the best goalkeeper in the league from lockdown onwards. And we've decided to, after, for whatever reason, to sell him. Not for football reasons, for financial gain. Let's get on with that. With financial gain, we've sold him, right? I want to see another midfield player coming in of a Partey on someone, and then I can go, right, when Leno makes the odd mistake, I can turn around and go, do you know what? I'm okay with it because we've got Partey and AWAR. But at the minute, we've got Elneny and Xhaka in the midfield. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not happy about it. You know, and that is the thing. Until this club starts showing the ambition that us fans deserve. And when I say us fans, because of all this COVID and all that, the Arsenal Football Club have not turned around and said, along with Adidas, and said, you know what? Everybody's having an hard time out there. We won't get new kits this thing. Oh, no, they've gone out there and got free new kits and they're charging you the top dollar for them. Right, and all the merchandise that goes with it, right? So come on, do your bit as well. You're asking the fans to spend money. You're asking fans to you know, scrimp and save, you know, to get something. You know what I mean? Do I go and get a Hugo Boss top or do I go and get an Arsenal shirt? You know what I mean? People are choosing Arsenal shirts and whatever, like, you know, going without something for a shirt. Now, what we're asking now is to do the same, Arsenal. And I'm telling you this now, boys, if the club say they can't afford it for whatever reason, then the owner should be coming out and saying, well, hold on a minute, I've just spent £5 billion on a stadium that's not being used. I can afford 200 grand or 100 grand to get you those two players and you can pay us back over whenever. You know what I mean? Like, if you really care. Because I care, if I was Kroenke, right, when I had all that money, I would be investing in Arsenal because you know why? Because I love the football club and I want it to be successful, you know? And I'm fed up with hearing on Twitter, fed up with hearing about all things. We've got no money. Well, if we've got no money, the people who've been running this club over the last 10 years deserve to be sacked. Every one of them that's in that club now does not deserve to be there. You know, get them out because you've failed. You failed. And, you know, this is a time now where it's a new regime and everything like that, you know, and with Edu and Mikel Arteta. And realistically, at this stage of the time, you know what I mean? They're like a couple of players, people down the market, aren't they? They're with Rodney, you know what I mean? Like trying to get a deal for this and a deal for that to so they can get something else, you know? It ain't fair. We don't want Del and Rodney. You know what I mean? Like, we want Mikel and Arteta being what they are. Proper football men. Not a couple of dodgy people down the market.
Mikel and Arteta. Has he got a mate with him then? Is he? Or...
I think you made Edu and Arteta.
Yeah, I think you meant Edu and Arteta, not Mikel and Arteta.
Well, all right. So I've made a mistake. Am I allowed to make one? Certainly a lot of players. Listen, you know, and I will say this, just one more thing. You know, Arsenal can't afford to make mistakes like Chelsea have done for £70 million for a clowning goal. We can't make those sort of mistakes. So we have got to be very, very astute with what we do. So that might take us a little bit more time. So I'll give them grace on that, like, you know. But, you know, these are the things that need to be done.
Absolutely. Dan, obviously there's a lot of people like Lee that are upset Martinez has gone. I'm upset that Martinez is gone. He's a fantastic goalkeeper. But like I said today to my mate Dave at work, if we want players like Aouar and Partey, we've got to sell him.
Yeah, listen, if everyone's upset and Mrs. Martinez, go and support Aston Villa, because he plays for Aston Villa now. That's my attitude, honestly. I was gutted when he went. I wanted to keep two goalkeepers, but we needed to sell, we were told, before we buy. So we've sold now, so let's go and buy. And I'm with Lee there. The only thing I will say, which is crazy because we're talking about owners giving us money. Everyone hates Roman Abramovich. He's absolutely superb. And why he's superb is because he's a winner. And if you don't win stuff, he gives you money to go and be good enough to win stuff. And there's no shock that in the last 15 years, Chelsea have won the most trophies because their owner is absolutely brutal. Kroenke's never been like that, mate. He's never given a damn about us. He's never had the ambition for that. And when it comes to it, you look at what we need. We're not even asking for that bigger players. Tottenham have spent £60 million, by the way, Lee, not 20, because they've just spent 30 on that left back, 20 for Bale and 15 for Doherty. So they're the ones that are apparently the most skinned club in the league.
And they've spent 60. And they're Southampton lads.
You're right. So they've spent more than that. So you look at that and you think, we're not even asking to spend that much here, Craig. We're asking to release a clause of £45 million for someone. Aston Villa paid that in two players, didn't they? So we're asking for one player here. Now, the way I see it is this. We need to sell before we buy, we've been told. Thank you very much to Arsene Wenger and Ivan Gazidis that everyone loved, because this is where we are still paying the price. We have got these players on ridiculous wages, so nobody wants them. And they're sitting there saying, if no one's going to offer me the same I'm getting here, I ain't moving. I'm quite happy to earn 125k a week if your name's Kolasinac, or 90k a week if you're Mustafi, or 100 grand a week if you're Socrates. Why would they want to go? We want them to leave, but we want Ozil to leave. But they are on ridiculous wages that no one can afford. So it's going to take time. And I'm with you, Craig. The window finishes on the 5th of October. Let's not panic yet. If it gets to the 4th and we're in this position, then start to panic, boys. Yeah. But I will be amazed if it gets to that stage. Now, what I'll say about the players that I believe we are targeting. Obviously, Runnison has been signed today to replace Martinez. Good bit of business, 1.5 million. We've got the rest to spend towards somebody else. I don't mind that because I actually quite like Leno. And I think people have got short memories to now believe that Leno is not good enough. Because for the last two seasons, apart from Aubameyang, he was by far the most consistent performer. And everybody on this podcast and other podcasts were ranting and raving about him keeping us in games. So let's not go over the top. Martinez is a fantastic goalkeeper, but he's Aston Villa's now. So let's move on from Martinez. We're now looking in the situation in midfield. Looking at that game against West Ham, we need to upgrade on what we've got, because everyone was ranting and raving at the Liverpool game and the Fulham game about Elneny and Xhaka. But when you look at Elneny, Xhaka and Ceballos, they are good midfielders, but they're not going to take us to the next level. They've got no creativity. None of them can actually defend. And they've actually got quite a lot of slow movement in transition, and they haven't got any athleticism. So two players that we want clearly are Thomas Partey and Hossam Awar. Now, Hossam Awar will give you creativity, and he can play in an 8 or a 10. And Thomas Partey will be that enforcer, but he'll also give you that power and presence that we've lacked since Patrick Vieira and Gilberto Silva have left. So they're clear to see why we want them. Now, if it gets to the stage of, I want to finish in the top six, be happy with Xhaka and Elneny. If we want to push for top four and challenge for it, and we still won't be guaranteed it, by the way, we need to be bringing in players like Thomas Partey and Hossam Awar. Now, I believe personally that we have, I've got good grounds for this source, that we have agreed to get Hossam Awar for £42 million with add-ons on top of that. So if that is true, that would mean that players are agreeing to be leaving the club. Now, there's a lot of rumours about Lucas Torreira. Now, to start with, he was over to Serie A loan deal with a move to obligation to buy next season of £24 million. So that, to me, would make up the Thomas Partey with Martinez's money. So if you've got £20 million for Martinez and the £24-25 for Torreira, you can find the extra million or extra 500K to release the clause of Thomas Partey, in my opinion. So that's the way that I believe we are going to do business. And on the 5th of October, I believe Hossam Awar and Thomas Partey will be Arsenal players. And I think that is a very good window, because with Willian and Gabriel and Saliba coming in as well, that people forget, we have sorted most of our problems out in one window by that. Now, it's going to take time to gel. It's going to take time to understand. We have got the players there with the attributes of what we've needed. We've got pace and power and aerial ability at the back. We've got defensive stability in midfield and creativity, but also we've got energy from Danny Ceballos. And when you start to look at it, Craig, you look at it and think, do you know what? This squad is actually a little bit more better with strength in depth than I thought, because we've not mentioned Saka, Martinelli, Maitland-Niles. We've not mentioned the fact that Xhaka and Elneny will be squad players. We've not mentioned the fact that Pepe is hardly getting a game at the moment and we're bringing him on. We've still got Eddie Nketiah, Joe Willock and Smith Rowe that are going to give some energy and some legs for us. And all of a sudden it starts to look okay. Now, we still need to get rid of the dead wood, like the shift them on, like the Mustafis and Chambers and Holdings and Kolasinac of this world. But if we can do that in the majority in this window, then you start to look at it and think, actually, are things as bad as everyone's talking about? I think in true Arsenal style, it's a proper meltdown. And sometimes it rubs off. I was getting frustrated reading Twitter yesterday and reading comments of people going on about how we're in so much trouble now, Martinez is gone, and how we've not signed anybody yet. Let's see where we are on the 5th of October. And the last thing I'll say before we move on, and I've been ranting on for a bit now, I think when it comes to the actual understanding of what Edu and Arteta are doing, we have to appreciate that they're going to need time, because not only Unai Emery and Raul have left it in a mess, but unfortunately, we're still paying the price for Arsene Wenger and Ivan Gazidis' complete and utter shambles of running the club.
Mark, a serious indication that something... I mean, I'm with Dan. I believe, I fully believe that by October the 5th, there will be new arrivals. Because the biggest indication of that is surely Aubameyang signing his contract. Aubameyang said that he was going to pause on signing his contract because he wanted to see ambition. Now, surely, we said it last week, I said it on the show that I'd done with Lee, surely Aubameyang must know something that we don't. And he certainly wouldn't have signed the contract, a three-year contract, which is probably going to be his last big contract, well, until he goes to China or the USA for a few quid before he retires. Surely someone's got to be coming through the door, Mark.
Well, we all hope so, don't we? And certainly the signs are looking good. And, you know, but this is a really, really, really difficult market. You know, you listen to all the footballing experts, the European experts around the world who we follow and we pay attention to. And it's every single club. You know, you've got clubs like Juventus who are tearing up contracts with Higuain because they can't get a fee for a lad who's in a long-term contract. You know, so no one's got £5 million to buy Higuain. Do you know what I mean? So if no one's willing to do players like this, then are they going to come in and buy somebody like Mustafi? I don't think they are. You know, it's a really, really challenging market. You've got Barcelona. Barcelona put their entire team up for sale, apart from Lionel Messi, and he handed in a transfer request or almost tried to activate a release out of his thing. So, and I think it was Rakitic or whatever has gone back to Sevilla where he was playing before, but not many, too many more people have left Barcelona. So, but I think Wolves have signed one lad who's, and they're getting slightly too excited about a fringe player from Barcelona who hasn't really done an awful lot there in the 2 or 3 years he's been there, whatever. But, you know, nevertheless, it's a Barcelona squad player. So they've got a few bods moving around, but you know, you would have thought people would have been banging down the door of the Camp Nou asking who's coming, who's available, you know, but no one is. And we've said it before, and it will be a domino effect, yeah. So once something moves, other things will move. Manchester United have got money. Don't think they ain't, because they have. You know what I mean? They're one of the richest football clubs in the world. And Real Madrid will be spending money, unless, like I pointed out last week, you know, they spent £500 million on a stadium upgrade. You know what I mean? So they're committed to that. But they've got money, you know what I mean? So it's a really, really challenging market at the minute. And people are sniffing around Socrates, Mustafi. You know, these boys, they're being looked at. Class and that, but it's all about, you know, I think a lot of it hinges on Manchester City buying the lad at Napoli, does it? And then they're looking at Socrates being a replacement for him going to Manchester City. So it's a real domino thing, and it's a real difficult financial climate that the entire world is in. You know, you only got to look up and down your high street to see closed. Do you know what I mean? It's you know, the sponsors are pulling out left, right, and center. You know, Sky have torn up a deal with China because they didn't pay their bill. You know, because there's a debate over content being given and stuff. You know, so you've got massive financial powers pulling out of massive financial deals with the Premier League. You know, we're in challenging times. So let's just calm down, as everyone's saying. Just calm down, because things are going to happen. It's just going to take time, and it's going to be a little domino, and things will happen. And you know, as Arteta said, we could have let Rob Holding go 2 weeks ago out on loan to Newcastle. But who'd be playing centre-half for us then?
Is it?
People can go, and people are wanting to go, but Arteta's not a mug. He's not letting people go. We need. Yes, Torreira can go. We hope, but there's a lot of legs in that world. Not very long legs, but a lot of short legs in that story. That Torreira's going to go to loan to Atletico, and we cross our fingers that means that Partey is surplus to requirements, but. Positive signs, you know. Let's, you know, two wins out of two, you know, and we've tied down our skipper. To bring it back to the original point, you said, would he have signed if he fit? Of course he would, because he wants to be a legend. What he said, because there's lots of people. If you look back, there's lots of people who have left this football club, and okay, they've gone on to win bits and pieces of trophies and done very well. Alexis Sanchez had one training session at Manchester United and massively regretted his decision, you know, and he's come out and admitted that, you know. There's a reason that Sami Nasri has still got a box at Arsenal. Do you know what I mean? These people move on and they realise what a fantastic club and family this team is. And he would have had people, Henri went to Barcelona. Was he really loved? No, he come back. He couldn't wait to come back, Henri. He would have come back for nothing. He probably did. I don't know. You know what I mean? But there ain't too many people that leave this club who don't regret it. And I think he would have listened to those words. And don't get me wrong, you know, the financial package we put in front of him, I don't think he would have been offered that anywhere else either, Craig. So it's an accumulation of things.
Yeah, yeah.
An accumulation of things.
It's true, yeah. I'll just bring this in here from Ali D. €5 donation. Thank you very much, mate. The best Arsenal podcast on YouTube. Well, thank you very much for that kind compliment. I tell you what, mate. That's two of those new triple ones.
Well, I haven't had one of them yet. I've got to try
triple,
one of them.
Triple cheeseburger. Thank you very much, Ali, for your...
Give us a tenner if Graham was on. Sorry, lads.
let's just go. I just want to go through some of these comments because there's one here somewhere there was another donation. Oh, here it is. Here we go. It's not a problem that the last minute deals cost more in wages. When you run out of time, the player gets more power. I suppose they do. I mean, Lee, we'll come in on that. how many times, you know, have we seen an Arsenal player's contract coming to an end? And it just leaves us, you know, I think there was a couple of times here we've let contracts run down. Arsene Wenger was very confident that the player was going to sign a new contract. Turns out he doesn't, and we lose him for peanuts.
Yeah, well, that goes on everywhere, you know, and you have to be cute enough to realise that, you know. I think that we've had our fingers burnt on many occasions with it as well, like, you know, and I don't agree with this going into a year's contract that you're going to give your all as well, because that don't happen, you know. I think in history, I think only one player has ever really done well in their last year of contract when they're going to go on the free, and that's... Oh, hello, your dad's in here, like, better behave ourselves. You better be nice.
No,
here, like.
That's my girls have got hold of my wife's phone and they're sending me messages.
Oh, okay, right, yeah. Oh, well, that's all right then. We don't have to be nice here then. So, and that was Aaron Ramsey. Other than that, I don't think it really works. And I feel that, you know, like, to be honest, you know, the one with Aubameyang, I think that, yeah, we've had to pay him a top money because of, you know, he's gone into the last year of his contract. But that's not that, you know, I think that's good business from him and good business from his agents. And I think that's how it is. What you've got to be is clever in that. You know, look, I think that I agree with Dan is what he's saying here. And I don't care what anybody, if Arsenal, at this stage, I do think this is what's happened. I think that Arsenal have an agreement with Partey, and they have an agreement with AOR that they're happy to come to the club. But then they've said, right, we're happy to come. We don't want to go nowhere else. We're happy to come here. But now you've got to go and thresh it out with the clubs. And I think that's where it takes a little bit of time. I think that Mark's right. I think that's where it's going to be a lot harder to do that because, you know, and also, like, it's say, like, if a club comes in now for Lacazette, yeah? Right, I don't know. Just say, like, Atletico Madrid come in for Atletico for Lacazette, and they say to Arsenal, we're going to sell him they offer him £15 million. Are Arsenal going to let him go for £15 million?
Of course not.
They're not, are they? Of course not. You know what I mean? And as fans, we're not going to allow it to happen. So they're going to they know that probably Partey wants to go, but they're going to do what's best and try and get the best deal they possibly can for themselves. You know, and if that means holding out another extra week or so, they're going to do that, aren't they? Because that's when it becomes desperate, and that's why things get done, because at the end of the day, that's when they have to decide, right, we can't hold out no longer, and we go there. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's happening at Dortmund. It's cat and mouse, isn't it?
Do you know what worries me, Lee, is that, and Dan might know more about this, is that Wolves have got £42 million worth of Jota money burning a hole in their pocket now, and they might be coming back.
Maitland-Niles.
People know we need money. That's the problem. They'll come in and they'll say, yep, let's give this. Listen, I have to say this. Liverpool are a team that I don't support, right? But I have to respect him because the way that club is run is so good. It is unbelievable in terms of recruitment, in terms of player sales, how they've played as a team, what Klopp has done. He's been backed by the board. They've got together and had a plan. This is what I want to see now from this football
Dan,
club. And it might take a while.
To interrupt you there, mate, but that has taken 5 years.
And that's my next point. Exactly that. And we need to
People are expecting Mikel Arteta to do what Jurgen Klopp has done in 5 months.
Exactly that. And it's unrealistic to expect that. And, you know, Arteta can only do that. And Craig, he'd say it's 5 years. That's because he's been backed. If Arteta's not backed, it's going to take him twice as long.
But like you said, though, Dan, they've been clever, haven't they? Like we said at the weekend, you know what I mean? With Origi to Bournemouth, and then for £7 million more, they've got what's his name? The lad come the other way. Thiago.
Signing of the
season. £19 million they sold Solanke to Bournemouth.
Yeah.
And then they've signed a Bundesliga four-time champion and a European champion.
Well, I mean,
27 years old for £27 million. What business?
Look at it like this. They've just swapped Dominic Solanke for Thiago.
Exactly that. And Thiago, Thiago's just won him the league, as far as I'm concerned. That's a back-to-back title now. Thiago is unbelievable, outstanding signing. But what I'm getting at as well is, you talk about Solanke there, Mark. Today, I look at the yellow bar. They've signed sold Brewster to Palace for 19 million with £7 million of add-ons with a buyback clause of 34 million. These are players that they're selling that aren't even proven. So we can't even get rid of our... So someone wants to offer us 15 million for Maitland-Niles, who's proven in the Premier League. Guendouzi's had two seasons in the Premier League. Nobody wants him. Lucas Torreira, we can't get more than 24 million when we paid 26 million for him. Yet Liverpool have sold Danny Ings for 10, Solanke for the 19, and now Brewster for another 19. And they've been getting the players in like Robertson for 8 million at Hull. We need to be looking at doing it, working not harder, but smarter. And where Lee, you know, Lee talks about us spending money, I don't actually mind if we don't spend a lot of money. If we're getting the right players in, like Liverpool have done when they haven't spent money, it can work. But what's frustrating is at the moment, nothing seems to be going on. So we need to be patient and allow the player sales before we allow the players to come in. And that's the frustrating part for me. I think with what Liverpool have done in the last 5 years is admirable. And I think as well as Bayern Munich, they've got to be up there with the best at the moment in terms of their team positions, is where they're playing. If you were to pick a world 11, Bayern Munich and Liverpool would be very, very hefty in what you'd select in those 11 players. Let me tell you that.
Absolutely.
It comes down to it. It comes down to it that we might have to sell Maitland-Niles. I know, like, Wolves have got that money. It might be a sacrifice, you know, because we've got Bellerin in the centre. But you know, he's going to be a sell. You know, one that we can sell. English as well. I don't think it's the right move, but like, you know, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to do that if the owner is not going to help out. Simple as that.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, look, but what I was going to... Dan makes a great point there about Solanke and Ryan Brewster. Like, I remember when Wolves came in for, was it 15 million or 20 million for Ainsley Maitland-Niles? All the people that want new signings are going, oh, you can't sell him for that. You can't sell him for that much. Do you know? So, well, what do you want? Do you want him gone? Or do you know, if we're going to move forward as a club, people are going to have to start realising what actually has to happen here. But I go back to what I've said before. You can't sell them if nobody wants them. And Danny hit the nail on the head there. No one wants Guendouzi. You know, we all sat here 2 years ago saying, God, this kid's going to be great. He's, you know, he's come in. He's got into the France under-21 squad. He's playing really well for Arsenal. Comes in from League Two in France. You know, making a name for himself. Now, 2 years down the line, we can't sell him. No one wants him. How do people expect Arsenal to bring new players in if we can't get, you know, if we can't get rid of the ones that we need to get rid of? Like Lee said, or Mark, who was it? Mark said, just rip up their contracts. If we can't get rid of them, just rip up their contracts and out them. And like Lee said, start again. But it's just something that's always plagued us, though, isn't it? Transfer windows, as Arsenal supporters.
That's what the big clubs are doing that, though, Craig.
Talking to your mic.
If Juventus and Barcelona are willing to rip up contracts of Suarez and Higuain, surely we should be willing to rip up the contract of Klasinac and Mustafi.
Absolutely. I just want to bring this in here from Alex McCarthy. It's just going on the point of what I'm trying to bring out again. What annoys me is that most Arsenal fans out there are Arteta and Edu need time. One transfer window and 6 months of football and getting frustrated with things is not giving them time. And I'll tell you what, Alex, 100% agree with you, mate. Absolutely spot on. Can't go, you know, couldn't agree more. Here we are now.
Yeah, what you're saying, you're giving them time on the football field. Yeah, definitely. But I don't think it's their job to be getting players as well. You know what I mean? I think that, well, certainly not getting rid of them. It should be to other people's jobs, you know what I mean? And so they can concentrate on getting things right on the pitch, which I think they are. You know, I think there's been a vast improvement in the Arsenal team. But ultimately, this manager needs back in. And I don't care. You can give him 6 months, 10 years. If he's not backed by a financial investment, then he is going to fail. Simple as that. Simple as that, because we're not going to get top four ever. Because the other teams above us, 40 points better off Liverpool than us were last season, and they've spent £67 million on top of what they've already got. You're not going to catch him, boys. It's as simple as that. Don't matter how good a coach he is. He's not going to do it. He's got to be backed.
Well, yeah, I get that, but he's not going to. I get what you're saying, but it's just we can sit here and say he's got to be backed. He's got to be backed. He's got to be backed. We can see that he's not going to be backed because we're trying to. He's flipping the pages in his book to see who he can try and get rid of. We're taking ages to do deals. No one wants to buy them. If he can't sell them, what's he supposed to do?
Rip the contracts up. Look, listen. At the end of the day, buy these players off. If you don't buy them off now, you know, let's be honest. Mustafi's going to be playing next season, bit part player. If he's not even going to be playing, you still got to be paying his contract week in, week out. Get rid. Just say, there's your money. See you later. There's your contract. Pay it up and get someone else in. You know, we've got to start being ruthless on these things, right? You know, and you know, when I say I think that Arteta is being backed, I honestly think that he will be because he's been backed because I cannot believe that Pierre Aubameyang has signed that contract without any players coming into this club.
Totally agree.
Absolutely.
If he hasn't done, he must be looking at that and thinking, I'm going to get that contract anyway. But he must know something. And I think that Mikel Arteta is always coming out and saying that they are going to back me. You know, that banner come over at Aston Villa. There's no need for him to make any sort of comment about that whatsoever. But he did. And he said, you know, so I do feel
that he's been transparently, isn't he? He's been transparent throughout Arteta. He ain't lied to us yet.
He has.
Everything he said has come off. So I'm not going to doubt this man. You know, and when it comes down to it, right, if he's not back, then I believe he's being lied to. And if he's being lied to, I think then he will walk. Because I tell you why, I wouldn't blame him. Because this is going to be one of the most sought-after managers or coaches, whatever you like, for a very, very long time. Look what he's doing with the tools that he's got. He's getting results against big teams. You know, it shows you that he's doing something well. But he needs the proper players. Please, back him. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
Lee, I'll come to all of you on this. What do you make? Sorry, I just got to close the door here now because my kid's screaming and doing my head in. One second there now.
What's he doing to his kids, Lee? What's going on?
I don't know. It's totally unprofessional, if you ask
it
me.
It is
totally unprofessional, that, isn't it?
You don't see anyone else.
He's had a bad go back your mic. Oh, hello, Craig. You all right? There she comes.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah. No
tip for everyone. A tip for everyone. Always use a condom. I've forgotten what I was going
to
say. What do you make of Arteta's reaction on the final whistle? You know, everyone on Twitter was going, oh, look at this bloke celebrating a 2-1 win. Yeah, I'll come to you, Dan, on it first. Celebrating a 2-1 win over West Ham. My reaction to that was great to see Mikel Arteta so happy. It actually meant that his game plan worked, and he was happy with the players, clapping his hands. He got his points.
Well, I think personally, I'm with you, mate. He just won the game. Of course, he's going to be happy. What was more refreshing was his words again, his interview after the game. This is one thing I said it earlier. He's been transparent, and he was there. You know, he said, "Look, there's a lot of things we've got to change at this football club. There's a lot of players here that need to wake up. I've got to do a lot of work." You know, we have got injuries at the moment, but the players that were on that pitch, they are not going to be our future. And I think he's aware of that. And there's stuff they've got to learn. And he's got some passion about him. Why do we get on people's backs when they're celebrating a win? I just don't see that personally. So as far as I'm concerned, he's been transparent the whole way. And just touching on what Lee said, I think he knows who's coming in. He's been very specific to the board about what he wants. And Aubameyang has signed because of Arteta and because of who's coming in. So I am positive.
Yeah, he's far too calm.
Precisely.
He's far too calm about the Aubameyang thing, and he's being far too calm about everything that he's being questioned. I mean, the press conference there the other day, he was asked about Thomas Partey, he was asked about Hassan Awar. Sorry, I can't talk about footballers that don't play for Arsenal Football Club. And, like, it's just... Do you know what? Something I said at work today to my buddy Dave, who I was talking to about. It's like he's obviously learnt from Arsene Wenger a lot from being a player, and he's learnt a lot from Pep Guardiola being his number two. Now, Mark, if you could merge two managers, Arsene Wenger and Pep Guardiola would be the two you'd pick, surely.
No.
Oh, okay. Lee, I'll move on.
Wait, can I just say, I hope your boss ain't watching this, because it sounds to me like you and Dave are just standing around chewing the fat about Arsenal all day.
Well, we're working. We're working as well. Don't worry about that.
I'll tell you what, merge. Pep Guardiola and George Graham.
That's nice, but I'm talking about Arteta and Guardiola. I'm talking about merging Wenger and Arteta, Wenger and Pep together. Does it look like
you know? It'd be nice, wouldn't it? But neither of them can defend. No, neither of them can pick a defender for Toffee, can they? Like, you know, I mean, Kompany was there when he got there, and he ain't been able to replace him. He's still struggling in the market, and yet we've gone out and bought Gabriel. How comes Pep Guardiola, his fantastic boss, how comes he couldn't convince this Gabriel lad, who looks a real talent, by the way? You know what I mean? He's sticking his head in everywhere you want him to stick it in. He looks a bit of a lump, gets around a pitch, can pass. Had a good look at him at the weekend. Second game now, and he looks like he's settling in well.
You're answering my question. Arsene Wenger and Pep Guardiola. You've got the pull of Arsene Wenger, and you've got the coaching techniques of what he's learned under Pep Guardiola.
I'm not a big fan of Pep Guardiola. I'll be honest. I'm, you know, I think he's great, but he's always had money from day one. You know, you have a look at a lot of the top coaches. They've had to earn their stripes. I think, you know, listen, you know, I need a central defender. Oh, well, yeah, there's 50 million for John Stones. Oh, well, I can't make him any better. I'll need another 50 million
all
for
right,
somebody
I
else.
I get that. Who else
are we saying that Arteta's played underneath? And else is he played underneath? Like, you know,
David Moyes.
He could argue that he's, if he was given the money and if he'd walked into Man City, he could argue that he'd be winning the league. I mean, Pep Guardiola is still failing in Europe, and he ain't took no further than Mark Hughes did.
He walked into Man United. He lasted about 7 weeks, didn't he?
Yeah, but he weren't giving biggest club. That was a hiding to nothing. Anyone who went after Sir Alex Ferguson was on a hiding to nothing. But yeah. Now you're asking me about who he's learned from. He was coached underneath Johan Cruyff, I believe, at Barcelona when he was in the academy with Pep Guardiola. So they both learned together. You know what I mean? So they've been mates for a very long time.
I'd like Arsene Wenger and Jurgen Klopp. That'd be my two.
Jurgen Klopp's the best boss around, in my opinion. Yeah, 100%. But you talk about Craig, who he's learnt off of. Think about when he was playing with people he played with as well. You know, he did play with Ronaldinho at PSG and Pochettino at PSG. Obviously, knows a lot about football, as we know. That's the strongest Spurs have ever been. But Arteta's played with some great players in the Premier League as well, and has been managed by fantastic managers. And he has worked with a great one in Pep Guardiola. I think the boys are obviously, they know he's had a lot of money, but he does know what he's doing, Pep. So I'm with you, Craig. I think Arsene Wenger and Pep Guardiola, he's learned a lot off of, and we're starting to see now that some of that has paid off, because what he has done, let's not get it twisted. Arteta has done an amazing job so far. Absolutely. Amazing. Yeah.
I want to get on to some viewers' questions. This is not a question, but thank you very much, Dilken. I hope I've said that right, mate. What's your guys' prediction versus Liverpool? Best regards from Switzerland. Craig and Lee, true Arsenal fans, stay healthy. Always, stay always healthy. Best regards from Switzerland. Well, thank you very much, mate.
Lovely part of the world, Switzerland as well. Lovely part of the world.
So, you know, it's always a place beautiful. I'd like to have...
Ask him where he comes from.
What part of Switzerland are you from, sir? It's definitely a country I've always wanted to visit.
Switzerland. I went to Basel.
I can't afford it.
Oi, very dear there, by the way, Switzerland. Very expensive. But went there just before in the Champions League, just before Christmas. Beautiful place. Beautiful part of the world. Beautiful. When you go into the saunas, you have to be naked. Just saying.
No, I don't mind that. I'm happy with my length.
Yeah, when you're jumping in and out of the ice bath, it ain't a lot of old dolly birds next year. It ain't there. Oh, Zurich, very nice, very nice, very nice.
Zurich, is it? Very nice indeed. Did you see Arteta smirk when asked about Aura and Partey? Wenger would have been proud of that. Exactly what I'm talking about. He's too calm. Going back to what we were talking about there. Let's have a look at this one. Reginald Perry, would it be okay if it took two transfer windows to get the midfield straight? Lee, let's start with you.
No, I think we need to sort it out now, because I tell you what, we've got an opportunity. We've got an opportunity. I still say this now. The things are not right at Manchester United. I still think things are quite wrong there. There's an opportunity there. And I still say with Manchester City, we can close the gap on them, because without Sergio Aguero, they are not as potent as what they're going to be. They'll have to replace him sooner or later as well, which they will do. So we've got an opportunity to just break into this top four this time around. Chelsea, you know, lots of players. Who knows? But if we don't, if we stop on our laurels and think, well, we're all going to be all right, Everton look a different animal this time around. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and other teams are going to come up and bite us. So we've got to be proactive. We can't sit still. And look, we come eighth last season. We come eighth. You know, realistically, Gabriel and Willian are not going to take us to where we want to go. It's got to be more done. Simple as that.
It's a great point about Everton. I watched them at the weekend and they were bloody very, very impressive. Very, very impressive. Dan, let's come to you on this one, mate. Should we play 4-3-3 at home or 4-3-4-3? Should we play 4-3-3 at home and 3-4-3 away? And that comes in from Alex.
The only way we're going to play 4-3-3 is if we buy Thomas Partey and Hossein Mawar. And somebody in the chat earlier was asking about our best 11. And I think that if we get Hossein Mawar and Thomas Partey, Danny Ceballos will make up that three midfield. I think Willian and Saka will play either side of Aubameyang. And I think we'll have Maitland-Niles right back, Tierney left back, Gabriel and Saliba at the back with Leno in goal. And I honestly believe that would be a good 4-3-3 system working well for Arteta. Obviously, Saliba's young, but I think he'll be good. And I think he's got all the attributes in the world to be a fantastic defender alongside Gabriel, who I obviously really do rate. In terms of 3-4-3, it's working at the moment, and I don't expect it to change home or away, because we cannot play 4-3-3 at the moment without, because we haven't got the tools. No. Arteta hasn't got the tools for that. And if we get Hossein Mawar, Thomas Partey, I think we could play 4-3-3 this season. I really do.
Oh, going back to the manager merging, look at this one.
Yeah, I saw that.
Max, Brian Clough and Alex Ferguson. Oh, what a manager that would be.
Sure. Brilliant.
Used to love
Brian Clough. Absolutely.
You know, going back onto, I've got to tell you this story about Brian Clough. I don't know if anyone's seen it, but it's actually on YouTube. Do you remember when, I think they stayed up on the last day of the season and there was a pitch invasion and he gave one of the fans a right hook. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
There's a documentary on YouTube, Brian Clough documentary, and I was watching it, and he actually had the club ring that fella. And he brought his mate with him. He wanted to apologise to him. So he brought him to the City Ground. And they're talking about it anyway. And Brian Clough's like he's talking to him like his dad, right? And this fella was standing there with his arms behind his back. This is how much respect Brian Clough had, even from someone that didn't even know him. He stood there with his hands behind his back. He said, you know what the problem with what you done was, young man? He says, there wasn't much wrong with it, to be honest, and I'm sorry that I acted violently. He said, but the most important thing about your actions is that you don't do it again, young man. And the fellow was like, yeah, okay, Mr. Clough, yeah, I won't do it again. I won't do it again. And Brian Clough says, now give me a kiss. And he made the fellow give him a kiss. Absolutely pointless story, but one I just thought was quite good. Yeah. He is good. Who's let's have a look at this one there now from Elliot Roberts. Greetings from Toronto. Goodness Whoa. Me. I've been to Toronto. It was 20 years ago, but I've been to Toronto. Stayed in the Days Inn Hotel. I was out there DJing at the Docklands Arena. So I reckon you might know where that is. I went to watch the Maple Leafs play ice hockey, which was quite good. Went to the top of the CN Tower. I went to Niagara Falls. It was good. Oh, and I went to the Brass Rail as well. For those that know, we'll see if Elliot knows. Thank you, mate. His question, do you think Arsenal are looking at any other signings outside of Oa and Partey? What do you reckon, Mark?
No.
Okay. Thanks.
I don't know why you bother with him. Like, he's just flying the crisp and he'd be happy. We've been mentioned, like Zaha's sort of come up over the last sort of day or something. Yes. Like, you know?
And so, also, what do you make about this thing today that something's come out on Twitter that Arsenal are in talks with Chelsea about a straight swap?
Nonsense, innit? Nonsense.
You think so?
It's nonsense. As everybody saying, let's hope it's the owners.
Yeah, that's true. It's hoping Guendouzi and Kante, they're buzzing if they think that's going to happen.
Well, I don't want that anyway. We want to go a bit more younger players now. Like, you know, Partey's the one in that position that we want. And you know, I like what I do like the thought of Zaha coming. Why not? You know, people keep saying to me, oh, well, we don't really need him. But if you want to go into the title, challenge for titles, they're the sort of players you need to come on or be around when we're playing.
What about that lad from Celtic? We were sniffing around him for a little while, weren't we?
Edouard, now Lacazette's staying. We're not going to get him. I wanted to ask you boys about this. We
end up with Brown.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you boys about this Zaha thing. And Lee, I wanted to ask you, because me and you were talking about it. Do you honestly, boys, think that is realistic? Because the reason I say this is this, right?
Oh, I do.
The rumours are 50 million next year. So Palace are going to let him go for nothing for this year. And they're going to have Reece Nelson on loan. But we pay 50 million next year obligation. So they're going to say, you have Zaha for a year, pay us 50 next year, don't worry about this year, and we'll have Nelson and we'll be fine. I just think that is nonsense. I think that's nonsense.
But I do think there's something in it. You know, we did bid for him last season, so there's obviously something there.
Now, I'd love him, don't get me wrong. But
I look at it and I think if you had got Zaha, Willian, Pepe coming from the flanks, does that then allow Aubameyang to come into the middle?
What about Martinelli?
Will eventually place Aubameyang.
Yes,
that will happen. That will be the transition from there. You know, over a course of.
You've got Saka as well. Saka,
he's 18 years old. You've got Saka who can play in different positions. But I'm not worried. Why are we worried about getting too many decent players?
I totally agree, mate. Totally agree.
Bring it on.
Yeah, exactly. This one, well done. Brass Rail, nice one, Craig. Hope you had a lovely lap dance. Don't know what you're talking about, mate.
I'm not getting Elliot.
This one comes in from Daniel Robert. Can Lee say a sentence without saying the words like, you know?
Hey, Daniel, bollocks here.
The answer to your question is no.
That's what Craig saw at the Brass Rail, wasn't it, Lee?
Oh, I think so.
This one comes in from Kevlar, 12345. What score do you think, boys, against Liverpool? Is a draw a good result? Do you know what? Last week, I wasn't too worried about playing them, but then after watching them last night, it's put the brass rail up me a little bit.
Take a draw now, Lee.
Absolutely. Dan, a draw?
I'd take a draw all day long. I said to Lee last night, we're on the phone, I said, you take 1-1, wouldn't you? Oh, all day long. All day long, you take it.
Unless we're 1-0 up with a minute ago, then I'll be pissed off.
Take the draw, Mark.
No, we'll go for the win.
I like that. So look, we'll get a score prediction. We'll finish it off here now tonight. We'll go for the score prediction. Lee, what do you reckon?
I think we'd be a gallant effort, but I think we'll lose 2-1.
2-1, okay. Dan?
I'm going to agree with Lee. Judges, I think we're going to lose 2-1, unfortunately. I'd love to take a draw. I'd love to win, obviously, but I'd take a draw. But I just think they're going to have too much for us, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. Mark?
2-1 Arsenal.
Oh, go on, son. I like that. I'm going with Mark. 2-1 Arsenal.
What are you getting?
I think we can beat them after watching Leeds go up there and get.
No reason to fear them.
We've already beaten once this month. Why not twice?
Absolutely. On Wednesday we've got a game against Leicester in the cup. Lee, what kind of team do we expect on Wednesday?
Ozil, captain.
I'll tell you what will be very interesting. That is a great point. I know Mark's only joking there, but it'd be that we'll know where the guys are if they're in the squad or not. If they're not in the squad for that one, then they're gone. That's it. They're done. You know. So I'd see us making lots of changes, but I fancy us against teams like Leicester and what's the word out there?
The comment list has come in.
That is bizarre.
Me and Dan looked at it at the same time, I think. I've been told I look like this referee, whatever referee's called. He reffed the game against Fulham, apparently.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but yeah.
I'm his twin brother, and then we just got this one. Sorry, Craig, but you really look like Socrates.
Is he trying to imply that you're a hairy Greek?
Yeah, well, you're trying to imply something.
I think you do look like that ref, a little bit of a, he's a bit of an overweight looking lookalike, but I'm not so sure about Socrates. I think that bloke's on the beer. Yeah, so I think that we've got we'll have a different squad, but I fancy us against teams like Leicester and Liverpool in this cup, because I do think that we, you know, Liverpool, for instance, I think we'll play their second, third team. And I feel that we've got, you know, we should have beat them last year in that cup, shouldn't we, really? Mm. And I feel that we've got a better squad of players than Leicester. So I fancy it's against Leicester, 2-0.
2-0. Dan?
I don't fancy us against Leicester. I just don't know why. I don't think we're going to go with this competition this season. I think we've got bigger fish to fry in the Europa League and the other competitions. So it's finishing high as we can in the league. I think Leicester will probably beat us. I don't know. I think there'll be a few goals in it, actually. I think they'll beat us 3-2. But I expect to see Cedric and Saliba and Willock and Smith Rowe and those.
Well, it is something to look forward to. And that's
wait. Can we put Callum's one up, please? I like him.
What is it?
Well, I'll tell you that Callum's definitely having a beer.
He goes Specsavers, doesn't he?
Yeah. Can you imagine judges doing a Giorgio Armani underwear?
Give it.
Balls will be down by his knees.
It's funny the other week, because we had someone said Dan looked like Klasinac and Craig looks like Socrates and Lee looks like Seagam. We've got a hell of a back three for Leicester Wednesday night.
You look a bit...
Mark looks a bit like that new goalkeeper who signed from Iceland.
I wish I was his age.
Yeah.
Old enough to be his granddad, I think.
Where were we? The Leicester game. Yeah, so what I was saying is that something to look forward to, because I thought we were going to see a lot of players, that, you know, a lot of fringe players, a lot of young players. I do like to watch. I mean, that Liverpool game last season, what a game. I know we lost, but what a hell of a game. Anyway, look, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks very much.
Harry Gross.
Harry looks like Mitrovic. He does. Harry does look like Mitrovic.
Yeah. Thank you, Ryan Brooks. Thank you, Ryan Brooks. I get that. I've had that before.
You always get that, don't you? You always get Freddie Flintoff. I must admit,
I come on this show once as Freddie, didn't I?
That's right.
Every name under the sun you've come at, mate. And you're Paul, Matt, Mark, Adrian Durham.
I'm going to come on as Thomas Partey next week. Celebration.
Thanks very much for all of you who have stayed with us and have watched the podcast live. Remember to check out our sponsor, West Cork Beer Company, down below in the description. Click the link, and of course Manscaped, if you want your cherries to smell like strawberries. Go over there and check their website out. I actually made that up. I think it's quite witty. You can go down, check them out, have a look at their website. If you see anything on there that you want, use the same old checkout code and get 20% off and free shipping. Audio up for the podcast will be up later on. If you're an audio head, I know lots of people like to listen to it on audio. Tuesday, you've got the same old Arsenal USA, which is on at 6:30 PST and 9:30 EST, I think.
Where's Nigel? Where's Nigel? Get that David Hine out.
That's what he's saying. Where's Nigel? Like Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gravis. I don't know who Ricky Gravis is.
Yeah, all right. Nigel's obviously fallen asleep or something, isn't he?
Out there him.
Remember to like the video, share the video with all your mates. Follow us on Twitter at the same old EFC if you don't already do so. And we will see you next week.
Next Tuesday, is that right? Because it's we got Monday, haven't we?
We're that's right, next Tuesday. My regards to Lee Judges. Thank you very much, mate. Thanks for coming along.
Thank you very much. Very enjoyable, as normal.
Dan, thank you very much,
Nigel's
mate.
Nigel's woke up. He's awake.
thank you very much. Thank you, Craig. And also, just a reminder for the Thursday night, because we're not doing Friday night because I'm actually away. So right. Thursday night this week, me and Graham,
where are you going?
For the Arsenal Liverpool, just kind of camping with a few lads, mate. Just chilling out. Chill out time.
Only five lads, I hope.
Chill out with the boys. Yeah,
yeah, only five. Yeah,
it's actually three of us.
My mate Tony does that, but he says it's fishing. He never catches
anything. Can't be dealing with fishing, mate. That's boring, isn't it?
It's camping by a lake. That's what he does.
Can't be doing fishing, mate.
We're gonna see this on Facebook now later on about that. if Tony's watching or if he gets to hear about it, I might just tell him for the laugh. Mark, thank you very much, mate. It's not about fishing.
So why might as well say it's camping by a lake then?
It's not about catching fish.
Oh, right. Fishing is not about catching fish. Right. Is that right?
Fishing is about catching fish, correct. But fishing is also about relaxation, nature, chilling out, relaxing.
Lay by a pool. That's relaxing.
Some fellas like to go fishing. That's why it's called fishing and not catching. Thank you very much, Mark, for coming along this evening. Appreciate it as always.
No worries. Just call me Freddie.
And of course, thanks everyone. Thanks for everyone for watching live. Thanks for everyone for watching on Facebook, on Periscope, and on YouTube. And thanks, of course, obviously, if you've listened to this on audio somewhere. Until we see you again next week, up the Arsenal.
Down on you.
How about Arsenal?
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.